This is what is done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. They are able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, with few duties and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. They will not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove. Wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be happy. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another. Even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to wrong views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
Well, John, over to you.
All right. Well, I was thinking about perception again today, and because we have this Zoom meeting, everybody is in their own little room and we're communicating with each other, or I'm trying to communicate to you. And even if we were in the same room, we would be still in our little rooms, in our little boxes with our own little perceptions the whole time. And I mean, that is the thing we're working on with our meditation, with our practice, this deliberate change of perception. And just chanting the Metta Sutta, you see how high the goals are. And even the monks cannot live up to that. I just planted a few plants at my, I moved huts. And at my new hut, I planted a few new plants, and now I have this stupid kangaroo eating my plants. So all creatures, all living creatures, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none. the kangaroo is obviously omitted already. So in real life, we have to deal with real people, with real situations, and obviously we cannot always live up to the highest standard. And the meditation is something where we try to reach that little bit higher, where we hopefully have the surroundings nice enough that we feel safe and undisturbed, where we can just aim this little bit higher, and maybe really include all living beings into our well-wishing. And that is, if we practice that, then at least when we lose it in the world, it's just as a practice, it is a reminder. Huh? It is something that is like building up a muscle. So basically, when we get lost in anger and ill will again against the kangaroos who are eating your plants, then I can sit back afterwards, and it's basically not the kangaroo. Huh? It's this caring for something, doing something, getting attached to something. Somebody is going to come and is going to destroy it again. Huh? And so it is with all our belongings, even with our own body. It's just gonna fall apart. And I just had that reminder of death recently as well. A friend of mine, who I know since fifth grade, just died, same age as me. Probably a heart attack. He was basically found in his apartment a few weeks later. So I guess the decomposition must have been quite bad. Probably the stench was what alerted people to his demise. And yeah, can happen every second. And I just use that to recall. It's not time to waste my energy with spending stupid thoughts on a kangaroo, eating my plants. It's just the way it is. And if I try to get it right in this world here, I'm gonna be in trouble. It's never gonna be. So having that peace, finding that place in the mind where there is. Then the thoughts of the five hindrances came up, and I mean, we have sensual desire is the cause of our trouble in the meditation. Huh? Then there comes ill will when we don't get what we want, or we get what we don't want. And then people have often doubt in the meditation: am I doing the right thing? And this doubt. If there is a connection in your meditation to something peaceful, where you feel, if you ever had that the thoughts just stop, because doubt is thoughts, is not on a feeling basis without thoughts. Huh? Cannot happen without thoughts. So once you have ever had that in your meditation, where the mind gets peaceful enough to be for a short while without this thought, when the mind is really in the present moment, because thoughts are always lagging behind. Huh? They're trying to figure out something in the future, or they're trying to interpret something that is happening right now. But even while we're interpreting what is happening right now, We're dragging behind already what is really happening, because thoughts are too slow. Huh? Thoughts are light speed, and they are still too slow. Amazing, isn't it? It's just what is really happening in perception, the amount of things happening in each and every second when we sit down and just relax and watch, is just phenomenal. Huh? It's just so. It's so subtle that sometimes we can perceive that as boring. Huh? But once the mind gets this interest in what is really going on here, the thing becomes absolutely fascinating. Huh? This rushing on of perception the whole time. And when the thoughts stop and the doubts stop for a while, I hope you experience this place where there's... Yeah, there is no doubt. It's a very nice place. Huh? It feels like a very safe place, because all the problems we create, they're created in our thoughts. Huh? We're thinking of stuff, and please remember that is just a cycle. And is in Buddhism, but it's basically just how the mind works, and you don't have to believe that. You just watch that for yourself and see if it's true or not. It's basically always a perception, feeling, thought. Perception, feeling, thought. Perception, feeling, thought, mingling with each other. And the perception dictates a little bit already where the thoughts go. And the feeling dictate a little bit where the thoughts go. And the thoughts dictate where the feelings go and where the perception goes. So we don't start at a blank spot. We start with that perception that we have built now in that lifetime for however old you are now, for me 53 years now. And that is how it is created, how it is, these tendencies are developed in my mind now. That is how I perceive the world. And you have your own tendencies developed in your mind, and this is how you perceive the world. And then we get influenced by what is coming from the outside. And it depends on, it's the first time for years that I watched a bit more news, or basically I read a bit more news. And climate change, the war that is going on in the Ukraine, and obviously I'm from Germany, so the whole Europe is very affected, and I get a little bit more of that. And starting something like that when we have enough trouble already after COVID, it is completely stupid. Humans are not very wise people. Very, very stupid individuals. This is the realm of stupid people. We share that with animals. They're also pretty stupid. We're the monkeys with technology. So finding happiness, a happy place in this world, can never be looking out there. We still have enough happiness because we don't have to be cold like the people in the Ukraine now, and we're not hungry, and the shells are not flying around, and hopefully you haven't lost any dear ones, or at least you don't have the constant fear that somebody is going to die because of a stupid war going on. So we still have the, just on a physical level, we have the opportunity to sit and do our meditation without struggling too much. But what suffering we're going to create on top of that, by worrying or just being miserable about how things are, the question is, how much is that going to help yourself, and how much is that going to help other people? So if I get negative, how good is that for my surroundings? And I usually find people who come in contact with Buddhism and they're a little bit negative already, they really like it, you know, oh yeah, everything is impermanent and unsatisfactory and not self, actually, it's so true. And then they use Buddhism basically to feed in their defilements of misery, basically, you know, just being vindicated about being a miserable chap because everything is crap anyway. And even the Buddha said so. Everything is just falling apart. There's nothing to hold on to. And if you interpret it like that, you didn't get the message. The message was to find that place in your own mind where there's basically where this conditioning that we have through our tendencies, this perception, this rolling perception, is first getting lighter, and that is why we practice sila, or why we try to practice the precepts, being guileless people, trustworthy people. At least somebody nobody has to be afraid of. That is nice. And that creates for us this lifts up our own mind, hopefully enough, by becoming a nicer person, as good as we can. I mean, with all the limitations that we have, and I'm not saying to be somebody who pretends to be super nice. Yeah? It's not some people do that, you know, smiling to everything. Then because they're a Buddhist now, and it's just like, no, it's still okay to say stop when somebody goes over your limits. And you can say no, but the attitude, just being present enough in the moment, then basically to say no, but one doesn't have to carry that around and be prepared for the next moment when, oh, that might rise up again, and then the mind starts proliferating about situations that might come up in the future that are going to be unpleasant, and we want to be prepared. And so we feed that negativity and this defensiveness the whole time. Like I fed my defensiveness with the kangaroo. What am I going to do? How I really have to scare that creature now. It just hops away, and it's just made. I made such a horrible impression on that kangaroo that it's just gonna. Oh, I can't go near that place actually. And then thoughts like that come up. Oh, I build a fence around my plants now again. You know, and it's just, and I have another fence standing there. Beautiful. So I decided if it comes, I'm gonna give it a nice shout and tell it. Take off, maybe even ruder than that, and then it's good again, actually. Then I can drop it again. I just see the suffering arising from these thoughts, this defensiveness and this controlling. And yeah, sure, I like my plants, but if they get eaten, they get eaten. It's basically, it's just a plant. We have to pick our fights. And I'm not willing to sacrifice my peace too much for my plants. I think that defies the purpose. So if you just watch your thoughts a little bit, if you find that place in the meditation where it was a bit peaceful, a bit without these doubts, a bit without remorse, a bit without sensual desires coming up, where it just maybe just for a few minutes, where you just sat there and it was, the world was all right as it was. Nothing doesn't have to be anything special, just that you're comfortable. Like Ajahn Brahm said, relax to the max. You're not meditating. You're just relaxing. Yeah? It's not another chore. It's just finding that spot where you're at ease with yourself. And the problem is when we go inside of our body, and that is very important to do in the meditation, because otherwise it stays this lofty intellectual exercise. You know, this meditation is a very, when it's going deeper, it's a very intense experience and feeling. It has nothing to do with thoughts. Thoughts have stopped. And first of all, we have to connect with this body. Have to have the feeling that I'm sitting comfortable enough, the body is okay. And then we get more into the body and feelings come up, and it's basically we're getting aware of how unpleasant it is having a body. A little itch there, a little ache there, that is uncomfortable. And my shoulders are tight again, and my neck is too stiff, and I don't know, my back is not quite right. And then we can go through all the fault-finding process again while we're going into the body. So I advise you to try that, like I said before, setting up the mind a little bit with a positive attitude, a little bit with a... with an interest in what you're doing, a little bit with a sense of fun and playfulness, even. Yeah, playfulness. That it's not something, or I'm a meditator and I'm gonna achieve something, or I'm not achieving something. It's basically, yeah, let's have a look what the mind is gonna do now. What are you what are you up to, mind? Actually, what's going on? Yeah? Do whatever you want, my dear. And then we can have a look with a nice attitude. And if the little bit of the nice attitude in the beginning basically helps us, then when something comes up in the body, if it's not, I'm not talking about incredible pain now or whatnot. If that happens to you, then obviously you need to do something, change positions, take painkillers or whatever. I'm talking about the little aches and pains that we all experience all the time. And then something in my neck comes up or whatnot, instead of and trying to get out of it, I let them just let the mind, if it wants to stay there with the pain, because that is the most intense thing right now, let it stay there, let it rest there, and with a little bit of friendliness towards that, it disappears. The little aches and pains, basically, they just disappear more and more, and it becomes this easing into the body. And then the breath is very important for me, basically. It just goes in and out, and my mind goes always back to it, because it just feels so alive. As long as I'm breathing, I'm still alive. And if it stops, fair enough. I mean, if I'm not suffocating or whatnot, but it's just like that might happen as well, you know, that the breath or the body just stops. And if the perception runs on and there's enough kindness, I mean, who gives a damn, basically? Yeah? It's just like if I die in my meditation, actually, with a peaceful mind, what better place to go? Huh? So, but obviously it's not going to happen. Huh? Maybe it's going to happen, but it's not because of the meditation or because we concentrate on the breath. Or we're more aware of the perceptions. Just for me, it's a nice thought, dying with a good mind state. Huh? Very, very important thing personally for myself. Funnily, even before I was in puberty, I was interested in dying in a good mind state already. I don't know where it comes from. And so it's just very ingrained in me that I have that perception that things gonna roll on when the body falls away, obviously. So that's also very important for me, that if just my mind is left, then I better be in a good mind state when I die. And if not, it's also okay, basically. If I tried my best, then I can be very forgiving, actually. You know? It's just like, and it's always my best. Otherwise, I would do better. So yeah, this little aches and pains in the body. If you can generate a little bit of friendliness when we start the meditation, getting into that and test that out. Well, if something comes up a little bit uncomfortable, and just relaxing into that. If you see defensiveness coming up in the mind or avoidance, then just say yes to the avoidance. Huh? And just don't create another conflict in the mind. It's just like, if you can't do it in that moment, it's basically okay, mind. You don't want to do it, you don't have to. Not forcing anything. Basically, if this is not strong pain, it's very interesting to look. Especially when people say then actually, oh, my meditation is so boring. If you have a close look at boredom, actually, it's bloody interesting. If you're really interested in what is boredom, actually, boredom is a word. Huh? It's just a concept in the mind, huh? Because it's from our childhood days or whatnot. It's just, are we there yet? So just keep a bit of playfulness up, a bit of friendliness, and then the meditation is not an exercise. It's just relaxing to the max, finding that space where you're comfortable with yourself. And if you later figure out you're not comfortable yet with yourself, then you use the little bit of peace you might have gained from time to time as a comparison and see when does the mind get agitated actually, what are the causes? Huh? And the causes are always our desires of having it a different way. Huh? And if it's something really urgent, sometimes, we have to pick up a fight and change something. But often it's just this habit of the mind of protecting ourselves, protecting us from future harm. So we go into this defensive thinking, or we go into the blaming business, blaming other people for our problems. And then it's a good exercise to have a look if that person were completely different, how different my life would really be. I would still have my mind to deal with. And often we exaggerate the situation actually and use it as a justification of being miserable. Instead of turning that around, seeing, okay, if that wasn't the case, how happy would I be then? And we just have to be very honest with ourselves. It's not the problem is that often we like to be nice people, and often we figure out we're not as nice as if we thought we are, actually. There's a lot of negativity going on in my own mind still. I mean, and I know most of the other people around me, they have the same problem. It's just being human. Just going through that negativity and defensiveness in our own minds. A good thing is when we can realize it and then we can just let it go again. And as soon as we realize the mind lets go because it sees it as suffering. And that is hopefully something that we learn in the meditation. Learning to have a space where it's more comfortable. And then we have a spot of comparison, more clarity, more comfortable, more independent of outside circumstances, and even a bit beyond our normal human behavior, even maybe including the loving kindness business, doing some exercise in that direction, really spreading it around the whole world and not examining the kangaroo or your enemy or whoever is getting on your nerves right now, and making that an exercise, just seeing us as humans and animals in the same realm of suffering. That helps sometimes, just contemplating that we're as ever awful we are, actually, is a conditioned thing. Nobody really decides that. So if something is somebody is really awful, they usually come with a lot of awful baggage. That doesn't mean I have to take their bullshit, but it's still I don't. If I suffer because of that, if I take that home and go in the mind, that is my suffering, and I'm not willing to suffer for anybody else. And that helps me a lot dealing with stuff, because I'm a very selfish person. I don't like to suffer for anybody in the world. And if I see my mind going there, the mind just, that's not necessary, and it drops. So I still get upset and use rude language. I'm not gentle in speech. the kangaroo could tell you about it. But it's basically, it doesn't take me that long to come back, and so it's I'm all right with that, actually. I'm still living on that planet here, actually. I cannot do anything about that. And I still try to go beyond that with my mind, to then even include the kangaroos or the monks I'm not so particularly fond of. So, let's do a little exercise in meditation then. Yeah. Remember, if you manage, get comfortable, try to bring a little bit of joy in your meditation. If you're not joyful right now, give it some time. And if you don't become joyful in the meditation, that's also great. Because that trains you in that being a little bit kind to yourself, and we can't control what is going on all the time in our minds. Eh? Mind does whatever it wants, and if we get our attitude right, or we remember a positive attitude for our mind, that just can turn things around very, very nicely. So please sit in whatever position you are seated for your meditation. Excuse me a second, I just get my watch. It's always more pleasant if I have the alarm set, then I don't need to check if it's over. Oops, that's the wrong one. 30 minutes. All right. So, sitting comfortable with the back in a position where it doesn't constrict your breathing, where you can feel your belly coming out, where if you take a real deep breath in and your chest and your belly comes out a bit, see if there's room there. There's nothing in the way. A position where you could just take a beautiful little nap. It's just comfortable enough. Comfortable that we can slow down the thoughts. Just feel the breath going in a few times. Getting aware of the body, how it's seated. Checking your feet, are they comfortable in the right angle? And can wriggle a little bit around. And going up through your body. And if you don't want to do the whole process, if you just take a few deep breaths, and with the out breath you let your shoulders drop, and dropping the shoulders, the neck comes into the right position, the way you're seated now. So we know in that position the body is going to be all right for half an hour. Nothing is going to happen. And not setting up terrible cramps, whatnot. Comfortable in that position, comfortable enough. Hopefully for you with no pain. Just body doing its business, breathing in and out. Becoming aware of the sounds around us. Seeing the light behind our eyelids. And just trust your body enough to wherever perception wants to go. Don't have to focus it anywhere. Just if it feels relaxing, we can always go to the breath. And from there, the perception can wander again. Or it can stay there. Just interest. Just what's going on if I don't have to do anything at all. If I don't have to think. Just for this half hour. If there are thoughts, that's all right. But I don't have to figure anything out. The wisdom is without thoughts. Peacefulness, doubtlessness. Thought is only a hindrance for that. Relaxing more and more into the body. Till every muscle feels completely relaxed. If you see something holding on somewhere, give it some kindness or move a little bit. And it can just settle. All the work is done. Perception is rolling on without thought, without our guidance. And if we can watch friendly, perception is going to be friendly back at us. And with a little bit of peace now, radiating kindness over the entire world is not such an impossible thing anymore. May all beings be free of suffering. The mind is a little bit at ease. My mind is right now. I can mean it. It's not just an ideal. And including myself and yourself in that. May we be free of suffering. So I was told you don't hear the bell anyway. So, bong. That was the meditation.
We can hear the bell now. They've adjusted the settings for the sundown.
Oh, did they? All right then. You hear that? You heard that? Good.
I've just, John, had a little offering placed on either side of my screen, John, for you. My niece has just changed the flowers.
And oh, thank you.
And she left two flowers for you, John.
Very nice. Your niece, huh?
Give them to the kangaroo.
That's right. No, don't feed the kangaroo close to my hut. You're making things worse.
would you like to continue with your talk, or would you like to answer questions?
I'm up to anything. I don't know. I can just continue a little bit, or if somebody.
There are some questions here. I see Wendy, Jake, and John have a question for you. So
okay.
If they'd like to unmute themselves and ask you a question, would you be fine with that, John?
Sure.
Okay, everyone, thank you.
All right, Wendy, and Jake, and John.
Can you hear us?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Magic. How to deal with another person insinuating that you're a bad person because you won't take on their pain and go down that dark road?
Well, I mean, if you know yourself well enough, if you have watched your own mind for a while, if somebody insinuates that I'm a bad person, I couldn't give a damn. I wouldn't care at all, basically. It's just it's obviously his perception. I know that I'm not a bad person. I'm not a perfect person or anything. But it's, after 53 years, I have a little bit of a measurement actually of how people are, and I'm not in the worst category there. That's for sure. So if you have some trust in your and some confidence in your own morality or whatever you want to call it, your own goodness, that stuff is not going to affect you so much. Huh? It's just it's laughable. It's laughable at a certain point, basically, because, I mean, I just talked about perception. Huh? People can perceive me, I don't know, I have the evil eye or whatnot. And some people, do whatever they want in their own minds. They think invading another country is a patriotic duty or whatnot. You know, it's basically also perception. Why do you care, ask yourself, what that person thinks? That is always the interesting point. How vulnerable I'm still to that criticism. Do I find that in myself? And then I'm always grateful for stuff like that, because then I can have a look. And if I don't find it, I leave the other person alone with that perception, actually. And if I find traces of that, then obviously I have something maybe I can work on. If the person was more concrete, maybe if some behavior, what I did or what was not up to standard. So I'm usually very happy if people criticize me. I hated that when they don't tell you the thumbs down on YouTube's anymore, actually, what's happening. Yeah? They canceled that out because people were getting too negative. And I was getting very negative with that, because I love the thumbs down, actually, what people say, what they get upset about and whatnot. And then I can see where I can improve, or if they're just crazy, in my opinion, or whatnot. And, so, check your own morality, have confidence in your own sila, and that stuff is not going to be so important to you.
Huh? Wow, yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
So, gratitude for the adversity.
If you can, I mean, that's how I can deal with it. I mean, never force yourself to be anything, you know. But if you can shift it around, if you can shift your perception around in that way, I find that very helpful. So is there any gratitude if it resonates with something in myself still, you know? And then I have a clue where I can improve.
Wow, thank you so much.
Yeah, welcome. Was there another question?
Yes, I do have another question for you from Gloria, who unfortunately couldn't stay with us for this evening, so she'll be listening later to the podcast.
But she has to. She has to. Then.
Yes, she will. She has left it in the chat. So I'll read it for you.
Okay, go on.
Ajahn, we've just talked to around 40 people here this evening, and we've got people from Germany, Sydney, Melbourne, Fremantle, Perth, the USA, Sweden, Bifold in England, Adelaide, Singapore, Thailand, Spain, Toronto, Hong Kong, Laos, and of course Armadale.
So we can't call it the Armadale group anymore.
Yeah. How to handle deep emotional pain skillfully? If other people, yes, so that's the question. How to handle deep emotional pain skillfully?
Well, skillfully, I mean, skillfully for yourself. You're not me. So I can only tell you how I like to deal with things. When the mind goes in a direction where there is only suffering, ask yourself, this train of thoughts, is there any happiness in that direction? Is there any possibility of happiness for myself or other people if the mind goes in that direction of thinking? Because the emotional thing is fed by thought. We have that perception thing, perception, thought, and feeling. They always work together, and new thoughts create new perception and new feelings. The feeling encourages the thoughts again, and so we get sometimes into these vicious cycles of thinking. So when the mind is not completely upset, you have to use the moments where you feel a little bit like yourself, a little bit calm. After a good cup of tea or good night's rest or a happy poem you read or something you enjoyed. And then basically contemplate this kind of thoughts when they come up, when you're a little bit calmer from that trauma that you had. Thinking about the situation in that way, can that ever lead to more happiness in my mind or other people's mind? And then little by little, if the mind sees it clearer and clearer, there's only suffering in that direction. Whenever the mind goes in that direction, it's just suffering, suffering, suffering. It's for so long already and always so intense. If the mind really sees it clearly, it stops it. It's just that the mind still seems stupid enough that it thinks it can just figure something out in that direction, and then it's going to get better. But there is no thought solution. There's only realizing these thoughts are unwholesome, they're creating suffering for myself and other people. And as often as you realize it, they're going to get weaker and weaker and weaker. And the more you create something positive in your life, something for yourself, something where you feel confident for yourself inside, like a meditation, like having a spot where you enjoy being with yourself, being with your own mind. If that gets stronger and a little bit of a feeling for that gets stronger, then the the mind is so much more able to distinguish, to see, oh, this is this old train of thoughts causing me so much trouble for so much, for such a long time already. And then that way we can weaken this trauma, weaken it, because the trauma itself, it gets perpetuated by thoughts. It would die down by itself. But we're feeding it over and over and over with thoughts. And if the mind sees the suffering in it without attaching blame, just see the pure suffering in it. It's not your fault. It's just what the mind does, because the mind wants to protect itself. But sometimes it's too stupid to see. It's just more suffering in that direction. So I hope that helps you a bit. I don't know what trauma you had, but usually it's good to have a personal conversation and to have more information of what was going on there, if there was some significant damage in your life. I hope that helps you a little bit. I don't hear you. I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
Chris, unmute yourself.
You muted.
There we go.
Alles klar.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah.
The picture has left a comment for Gloria in the chat. When something like this happens, I sometimes watch a Buddhist talk on YouTube, which distracts me from the bad thoughts. So thank you, Lisa.
Yeah.
Also, we have another question in the chat. Would you like me to read it, Arjun?
Please do so.
Okay. During the meditation, I feel shivers in my body, and sometimes I feel something exiting the body. The same feeling comes up when I hear or see something that touches the heart. It is a good feeling.
Sorry, can you repeat that? It clutches the heart? What was it?
When I see or something that touches
the heart, okay. that's better.
It's a good feeling, but it sometimes makes tears fall.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have any description about this feeling, Arjun? Is it not necessary to give it a name or a...
No, you don't have to give me the name. Good, great. I mean, something leaves the body, I hope is tension. Yeah? Just the body relaxing. And I don't know if there is a wind that passes or whatnot out of the body. Could be the case. Tears, I have that also, especially with metta meditation, often with gratitude, actually. It's just heart opening. I mean, meditation is a feeling, huh? It's getting a sense into this feeling realm. And without judging, and obviously that's why I always try to point that out, if we start watching with a positive attitude and a kind mind, it doesn't judge, and whatever comes up is welcome. And usually then just that kindness to oneself can bring tears to my eyes sometimes, that I have learned that, being so kind to myself, actually. And then seeing that other people have to be so awful sometimes to themselves, I can develop a huge gratitude towards the Buddhist teaching, basically, that I think I have understood a little bit how the mind works. Huh? And so there are, I think, very, very positive emotions. And if you have that in your meditation, nice. It should feel nice. It always, when it's going in the right direction, it's always a relief and it always feels beautiful. Huh? As if it gets tense again, there's somebody holding on or thoughts coming up again. If there's things falling away, it's like it's not something new that comes. It's basically, I love to say, there is this heaviness that you were not aware that you were carrying that around with you. Sometimes feels like a 50 kilogram backpack. You were not aware you were carrying that around for years again, and then in a good meditation it just falls off. That's how it feels. Just like, oh. And then incredible gratitude to realize you don't have to carry that backpack around with you. Huh? And the mind sees something, and the mind has learned something. And then it's always a very happy occasion when that happens, and is a good direction. If it gets more peaceful and more happy, that's the way of meditation. Relax to the max. It's just having that beautiful space, finding that beautiful space inside of your own mind, while we're conditioned to see happiness in the fridge, or in sex and drugs and rock and roll, or in a new car, possessions, status, being praised by others, and not having any of that, and finding a huge amount of happiness inside of your own mind, it just blows you away. Huh? It's just like, wow, there is something to that business. Huh? It's not just a religion I have to believe in. It's basically a working with my mind. So great, yeah. If that happens in your meditation, good for you. Good karma there. Hope you enjoyed. Okay. Anything else?
No, we don't have anything else in the chat, but I'm sure somebody would like to unmute themselves and ask a question. Is there anyone who would like to unmute themselves and ask a question? Oh, Martha, perfect. Please.
Hi, this is Martha.
Hi, Martha.
So grateful yet again. So grateful to learn from y'all's experience, truly. I mean, just the story about the kangaroo and how even negativity comes up with you guys, and that the ideals that we are shooting for is helpful to know that even y'all weren't perfect at it. that how y'all work with it is so helpful. So, question about technique.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to withdraw the senses. I think, well, no. I hear y'all, this voice is in my head, it's just be. But at the beginning of this meditation, though, you said let go of the belly just a little bit. I find that when I'm sitting, and I can let my belly go totally, but then I go inside, and I feel fine, and then I feel like I'm slumping, so I'm trying to do this strong back, soft belly thing, but my back doesn't seem strong when my belly is totally let go in the way that I sit. So,
no, I didn't say let go. I didn't say let go of your belly. I said it has to be feel unconstricted, your belly. When you breathe in, that you have the feeling, if you slumped, for example. Yeah. And you breathe in, then basically you feel constricted, huh? So it's, but if I sit that stiff, I feel also constricted. So the trick is to sit in a position where you have the feeling that the breath goes in easy and goes out easy. So if you don't find it in a sitting position, lie down or sit in a chair comfortably or whatnot. The way you sit doesn't matter. The most important thing is, I always say, it has to be a position where you can fall asleep in now, and where you know that.
You do like that. It should be a position where you can fall asleep.
You can fall asleep in that. Yeah, I mean, if people get into really deep meditation, they're away from their body. If they're not sitting stable, they're just gonna fall over. Then basically,
because I can let go of the belly altogether.
Don't let go of your belly. Relax.
Stable position.
Relax the belly, basically. Have the belly if we do a deep breath, what happens is breast and belly move up a little bit. I'm just saying, if some people wear jeans or some constricting clothes, sometimes they have to open their belly, their button at the belly, that the stomach can come out. Or they're sitting too slumped or too straight. Sit in a position where it's absolutely comfortable for you. That is the most important thing. Huh?
That has helped me. You guys started in the beginning because I used to do lotus and whatnot.
Yeah, that's not important really. The body just needs to be comfortable. You have to have confidence that in that position, the body is just, it's exactly as in that position where I'm comfortable before I go asleep. And if I fall asleep, nothing is going to happen.
Are you sure? That's what I'm obsessed about. That's what I was getting ready to go with when I let the belly go in that way. I tend to fall asleep, which feels like swallowing torpor.
Yeah, that can happen in the meditation that you fall asleep, but I prefer that a lot, and people getting tense in their meditation. If you fall asleep, it's a kind of letting go already. It's not enough energy and joy in the mind to keep looking. Huh?
Good point. So let me repeat that. If I fall asleep when comfortable, that just means there's not enough energy in the mind to keep looking and just go with it. And I guess that's why Ajahn Brahm says fall asleep if you have to.
Yeah. I mean, Ajahn Brahm fell asleep all the time in Thailand. He was laughed at by other monks because he always fell asleep. But he is one of the best meditators I know.
That is very good to know, because I'm judging that. And you said don't do that. Kind mind doesn't judge their own mind.
No, be kind to yourself. And let the belly do whatever the belly feels comfortable doing.
Thank you, I appreciate you also so much.
You're welcome.
You are the ancient group and always will be. We're just international online.
Okay.
And Martha, I might add, we always appreciate having you here too. Welcome.
Oh, there you are now, okay. Move pictures. Is there anything else?
Is there anyone else who'd like to unmute themselves and ask a question, please? There's a lovely opportunity this evening.
If not, I just remind you once again, actually, if you take anything home, meditation, see if you relax and find some joy in your meditation, and use a little bit of kindness before you even start. Huh? A little bit of interest. Interest is a form of kindness. Huh? Just being, what is happening if I don't do anything anymore, if I just relax? Huh? And it just goes on and on, if you do something or not. Huh? So that is important. And then if you can remember this, this connection between thoughts, feelings, and perception. If you can watch that a little bit in your life, that when you think negative thoughts, how your perception changes through the day. And then imagine if you think negative thoughts for years and years and years, how the perception gets built around that. Huh? And that takes some time to unwind again, to see, it's just suffering in that direction. Huh? It's not judging, it's just seeing there is suffering. There's more suffering in that direction. Huh? And if the mind sees that, and it has this distinguishing feature, because it feels if there is suffering, it's always tense and it's always sort of trying to keep something away, or special greed for something, you know, really needing that, really, without that I can't live. Or whatnot, you know. There's always a direction of suffering. There's no peace there. There's no lightness. There's always heaviness there. It's more achieving, more struggling. So make the meditation the opposite, where you don't have to sit in a certain position, where you don't have to breathe a certain way, where you don't have to be anyone. You just watch what is going on. And with a little bit of kindness, you can even watch the unpleasant stuff in the mind. Because sometimes things come up we're not aware of, and but it's always good to see what's going on. As soon as we know what's going on, half of the medicine is taken already. You know, just always seeing that is okay. Suffering in that direction. These thoughts are all right. They don't lead to suffering. There's peace and happiness in that direction. So it's not just sitting there with your legs crossed. It's basically having this little bit, taking this little bit awareness through your day. And we forget sometimes when we're busy with stuff, but then we take a breath and where am I here? Where's my mind? Huh? How negative am I, or am I in a good mood? And if I'm in a bad mood, then that's all right. But I don't have to continue in that direction. Huh? So that awareness helps you to get rid of a lot of suffering and checking these patterns of the mind that we just keep up sometimes for days on end. And some people for years on end, just creating so much misery for themselves and other people. Huh? And just seeing the suffering in that is often enough to stop the mind doing that. We don't have to do anything more. Huh? The mind wants happiness and tries to avoid suffering. That's the function of the mind. There's nothing we can do about that. The same law as gravity. You can watch that for yourself. It's impossible. We can lie to ourselves and try to enjoy something that we don't enjoy, or try to like something that we don't like. It's just a lie. It's never going to be a resonance. It's never going to resonate with us, really. And if the meditation doesn't resonate with us, if we don't see any beauty in that after a while, then we're missing the point. We're still struggling, still trying to achieve, still trying to be something. So I hope you relax to the max in your meditation and keep a little bit of an eye on your thoughts and where they're going, actually. See if they're going into the realms of suffering or more happiness. Huh? Okay.
Okay, John, would you like to offer us a blessing to finish the evening?
Yes, again, et nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti.
And one more.
One more? Oh, I'm especially greedy this evening. Okay, one more. Okay. You get the last part of the Metta Sutta then. Where does it start? The last part. Metan chasa palokas ming mana samba wa ye aparimanang utang ado chatirian shasamba tang awerang asapatang titan sharang nisino wa sayano wa yawata sawigatamito etang sating aditeya brahma metang viharang idamahuditin cha anupagamma silawa dasanena sampanno kame suvinaya getang nahi jatu kapaseyang punareti.